Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
I can too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, the day's date is December. The 9th in the year 2020. And welcome, welcome. You are in the Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show. If it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation, design, and workforce development training companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the unemployment and the underemployment of young Black men and women locally and nationally. Also, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And this show is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at PositiveChangePC.com. By logging on to our website at PositiveChangePC.com. Please click on our news and events tab because you'll be in our green room and we want to bring you right on into our living room so we'll be able to talk to you more about this exciting platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And if you join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after the dialing the call-in number because you'll be in our green room and we want to bring you right on into our living room so we can be able to have a very intelligent discussion with you, our listening audience. And you know, as I said, the HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative brings you this show every week, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at PositiveChangePC.com, and you'll see the PCPC, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which we are broadcasting live over the platform of Blog Talk Radio, and streaming over Facebook, Twitter, and Link, and over the World Wide Web. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know that this show is no stranger to you, and we don't have a guest scheduled again this week for this platform, but we've got some what I think very, very exciting issues that we topics that we want to discuss with and bring to our talking our listening audience rather today, and you'll be able to once again do that by logging on to positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab, and you'll be able to follow us as we jump right into our topics of discussion today. And on leading off on our first segment of our show today, we're going to be talking about the Black Economic Alliance 2020 Public Summary and White Paper, which I found to be a very, very, very interesting document. And all you will have to do, once again, is log on to our website, click on the link, which you'll see a blue link, which is a live link, and that will take you right into the PDF file, and you'll be right there with the Black Economic Alliance, Work, Wages, Wealth. Now, this has been developed by this organization, and everybody is either putting together or have put together some type of economic policy that they want to be able to push in front of the 46th president, which is Joe Biden. By no means should any of our issues of concern be something that is not taken into some strong consideration, being that we are the ones who put him there. And I say that when I say we, I'm talking about the African-American and the Hispanic vote, but specifically the African-American vote, because the Biden's campaign was dead in the water until it hit my home state, and some very, very wise folk from where I reside, from the state of South Carolina, understood the politics of what was necessary to remove COVID-45, which we know is Donald Trump, from having another 4 years, because we know that this COVID plandemic by the pharmaceutical industry, which is making billions of dollars, which need to be put and invested into the communities of color, and specifically the African American communities, is something that will not come to fruition, because after dealing with the pandemic, the pandemic behind COVID-19 is climate change. And yours truly will connect the dots between the renewable energy and some of the same policies that are being advised by this group. Now, job training is first online. Education and work, opportunity zones, entrepreneurship, affordable housing, economic mobility, access to capital, reentry, wealth and wages, and child care. These are the platforms that are laid out under this Economic Alliance group. And it's very, very, I would say, for those who are in a spiritual mode, to look at the Black Economic Alliance is a coalition of business leaders advocating for public policies that advance work, wages, and wealth in the Black community. Well, the question I raise is, where is the organizations that speak to public policy around the energy industry more so around the renewable energy industry, and specifically solar. And the National Association of Blacks in Solar is the only organization that I know of that has put out a platform trying to address the disparities in this industry, and they are numerous. And if you go to our website at positivechangepc.com, click on our news and events tab, scroll down, you will see those disparities, ladies and gentlemen. And that's not a joke, and it's not funny, but that's the reality that we find ourselves. Now, I've been doing some very, very interesting things. On yesterday, I went out and I attempted to film the work crew for WDC Solar, which is one of our leading African-American installation and workforce training companies in African-American-owned Davis. And we had a very, very interesting day. Unfortunately, our video recorder, when it showed that it was taping, was not taping. So we're going to have to revisit that matter, because we want to bring you those interviews from that work crew and from the homeowner, who Mr. Thomas Corbin, who was kind enough to allow me to come over and do an interview with him, and I was able to speak with the crew of WDC Solar, and I must admit they do an outstanding job of what they do. Now, going back and looking at our today's subject, there's a quote here from Dr. King. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of vast ocean of material prosperity. And this was quoted by Dr. King in 1963. Non-Hispanics and whites have a median household of wealth. $139,300 compared to $12,780 for black households. Now, this is data from the U.S. Census 219. Gaps in wealth of American households types. And you can find more information by logging on to www.census.gov/library/stories/219 gaps in wealth American by household type, and you'll be able to find that there, these statistics there. Section one of this PDF file and this document deals with policy summaries. Section two details policy research, the research paper, and section three is about the Black Economic Alliance. And we're going to just scroll on down and jump right on into the nature of what this is about. A plan for Black American economy, policy summary, job training, simply and to consolidate federal jobs programs and allocate more job training funds on a pay-for-performance basis to private job training organizations and social entrepreneurs. Locate more skilled training services in the Black communities. Allow Pell Grants to be used for skilled training. Tie college acceleration to employment outcomes. Now, these are the recommendations by this organization. And as I beat the drum time and time again, and we've broken it down, that no industry in the U.S. economy has outgrown the solar energy industry over the past 12 years. With Biden administration committing that they are going to invest $1.7 trillion to combat climate change, we must look at the National Association of Blacks in Solar and the platform that they have in calling for investments in our institutions, our historically black colleges, our churches, our businesses, our homes, and our banks. We must, and our nonprofits, who such as CDFIs, for example, the Marshall Heights Development Corporation of this world, we need to look at dealing with that investment in those institutions. Opportunity zones, modify opportunity zones, tax policies to incentivize new business formations and employment versus real estate projects already in flight. Opportunity zones for infrastructure spending. Modify allocation formulas that favor rural communities at the county level for more focused opportunity zones. Okay, number three is entrepreneurship. Incentivize venture capital and private equity firms to incubate and invest in companies in opportunity zones in exchange for favorable carried tax rates. And incentivize business development companies to lend in opportunity zones. Number four, affordable housing. Incentivize rent-to-own options in the public and private housing market, alternative financing structures, and technical innovations in modular housing. Modify zone laws for accelerating dwelling units for higher density. Accelerate permitting process. Include affordable housing as part of the federal infrastructure bill. Economic mobility. Create relocation and job vouchers that facilitate workers moving to more lucrative geographies for employment. Make childcare more affordable, local, and accessible during non-standard working hours. Wealth transition. This earned income tax credit is a monthly from annual payments, and implement federal retirement savings for low-wage workers without retirement plans. Reduce state discretion on allocated federal block grants for means-tested substance abuse programs, implementing repay student loans, restricting programs more broadly. They need to cancel this student debt. We did a very, very, I think, strong program a week ago talking about the relationship between the student debt and the creation of wealth for black folks in this country. And that show is in our, you'll be able to find it in our library, under our gallery. You'll be able to find that particular show, and you'll find that article loaded under our news and events. I strongly, strongly recommend to my listening audience for you to go to our website and read that particular article. Reentry programs, establish certifications of qualifications for employment in all states of federal standard accepted in the United States. Allow Pell Grants to be used for training for the incarcerated. This is very, very, very important, ladies and gentlemen. That is one of the reasons why we wanted to zero in on this report. Federal job training programs are inefficient and less accessible to the black community. Policy recommendations. Consolidate and simply separate federal jobs and entitlement programs among fewer agencies and application process. focus federal services on career and life coaching and rely on specialized social entrepreneurs, nonprofits, and industry to deliver the actual skills training on a pay-for-performance basis. And this is tailor-made to train our young people in the renewable energy industry as it relates to becoming energy assessors, solar installers, electricians to do the wiring for these installs for commercial and residential solar, as well as EV infrastructure. So this is a recommendation that I 2,000% feel that should be put into action. Okay? Relocate and increase training funds based on high priority opportunity zones. Market training and career paths in the black neighborhoods where career fairs and organized social media campaigns. One other thing that I recommend is that monies be put into programming for organizations such as the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative that will help this platform be able to buy the airtime on black-owned media, radio media, so we can mainstream this show that I'm providing this information over today. Because without the necessary funding to buy the airtime, our commercial stations simply are not going to provide access to this information to our communities. I don't care how important it is. It's not going to happen because the radio stations are in business to make a profit. Delegate more industry-recognized apprenticeship programs, IRAP, to private industry with less respective departments of labor rules. Okay? That is the recommendations under work. Education and work. The federal government spends I want you to hear this, ladies and gentlemen, $114 billion on higher education and 2 and 4 year colleges compared to $18 billion on workforce development programs. 43% of college graduates work in jobs do not require a degree. Now, let's look at this again, ladies and gentlemen. The federal government, our federal government, spends $10 billion on higher education at 2 and 4 year colleges and universities compared to $18 billion on workforce development training programs. 43% of college graduates work in jobs that do not require a college degree. I am a living example of that. All of my life, I have worked, other than when I was teaching school, in areas that did not require a college degree. Policy recommendations. Increase funds for skill training by allowing Pell Grants funds to shorter skill-based training in collaborations with specific employers results in less than college debt, $1.4 trillion outstanding. That is what is owed in by students to the federal government in debt. That, I guess, is why they invest in colleges and universities. So when the students leave, they're tied up with this damn student debt. Market more financial lucrative college majors to black students who disproportionately major in lower disciplines, social and community services. Add employment outcomes to the acceleration of credit colleges. Incentivize colleges and universities to collaborate with companies on federal work-study programs. 95% of federal work-study students have on-campus often make up jobs unrelated to their majors. This is why we have been pushing the workforce development training programs, ladies and gentlemen, for training our young people in the solar renewable sector and in STEM-related industries relevant to cybersecurity, because these are the areas where the jobs are that don't require 4 years degrees. Now, when we began to look at the platform of dealing with entrepreneurship, there are over 2.6 million Black-owned businesses. Well, there was over 2.6 million Black-owned businesses. We don't know what those numbers are right now. The fastest growing sector of new businesses formations, but they like the capital and incubator services to thrive. Policy recommendations require all small investments in new opportunity zones based businesses as a trade-off for private equity and venture capital firms to retain their carried interest tax subsidy. Incentivize professional incubators to encourage opportunity zones, create a bill to own co-ops of engineers delivering skill training and to repair and own abandoned homes. Diversity goals as part of the infrastructure spending. Review and eliminate unnecessary occupational license restrictions. Provide and accelerate tax credits for seed round investment in opportunity zones. 90% of our HBCUs, ladies and gentlemen, are located in these zones. But when you look at our HBCUs and where they're strategic, you located in the South and look at the communities, they look like Beirut. These recommendations need to be followed up on and through to, but you cannot leave out the fastest growing industry, which has been the renewable energy and the solar industry. Opportunity zones. Tax advantage opportunity zones primarily benefit real estate developers for projects that were already in flight. Policy recommendations, modify tax policy to incentivize new business formations and office relocations in opportunity zones by shortening payback periods. Provide incentives for lenders, risk protection for higher returns to accelerate lending in opportunity zones. Opportunity zones for federal infrastructure investments. Give these communities have historically been underinvested and have more severe transportation, maintenance, safety, and water challenges. Include affordable housing as a core component of the infrastructure bill. Also, to include more investment from the climate change investment to African-American institutions, and you will get more about that by logging on to the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative at positivechangepc.com. Click on our News and Events tab. Go down to the National Association Blacks in Solar Platform calling for a 2021 Economic Development Plan for Black America. Reallocate community development funding based on higher priority opportunity zones, county-based formulas used in the past, 10-20-30 rule, favor rural communities with small Black populations. This is a program that you will find out that Congressman Clyde Byrne, who hails from Sumter, South Carolina, has been working, and he has a program under the 10-20-30 bill that has raised over $1.6 billion for funding over 2,800 projects in these rural neighborhoods. But how do we disseminate that information to the African-American community? Last but not least, the lack of affordable local child care is a significant barrier to work. Only 21% of eligible black children are benefiting from child care development block grants. Recommendations: establish a multi-year contract with health care centers in black neighborhoods so parents have who are predictable child care year-round in approximate proximity to their homes, and that provides service during non-standard working hours. Pay child care subsidies closer to the market rate. Create an incubator program for entrepreneurs to provide child care opportunity zones within incentives to provide child care for difficult to serve populations, such as special needs, and create increased funding for child care and development block grants. Head Start and early Head Start, coordinate child care with Head Start programs in a single family parent. Don't have to navigate a patchwork of programs in different locations. These are the recommendations, ladies and gentlemen. Now, under wages, we're going to look at the recommendations by this policy group. Saving and wages, wage support. Income and wealth disparities in the black community impact all other areas of quality of life. Policy recommendations: evaluate the Savings of the Future Act proposed by Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota and Senator Chris Coons, which is targeted at low-wage workers without retirement plans. The act requires employers with 10 employees or more to contribute 50 cents per hour work to a portable retirement fund unless they have some alternative retirement plan. Incentivize states to initiate state-level earned income tax credit programs. Review federal minimum wages for an increase over time. Lower the age of eligibility for EITC, increase the rate and payment monthly, simplify the application process to accelerate the reverse pay as you earn programs to reduce student loan debt, reduce state reentry on allocation for federal block grants for means-tested subsidy abuse programs. Now, under the next pillar of the platform, you'll see the reentry recommendations. Researchers estimate that 100 million Americans have a criminal record. Nearly half of black males and 40% of white males have arrest records by the time they're age 23. Policy recommendations: establish certificates of qualifications for employment in all states or a federal standard accepted in all states. Expand direct funding for nonprofits that demonstrate sustained success in transitional employment programs. Expunge records for first-time misdemeanor convictions and place their time limits on disclosure of information about past convictions. Apply Pell Grants for training for the incarcerated. Ladies and gentlemen, I just shared with you some powerful, powerful recommendations. I recommend that you go to our website and you review this. Now, when we get to talking about we're talking about economic mobility in this system. Economic opportunity varies widely by locations in such a large country. Studies by showed that children that move to economically advantaged neighborhoods by age 13 are more likely to attain a college and earn higher wages. Policy recommendations: facilitate mobility for workers who see better job prospects in other cities but can't relocate without assistance via relocation voucher. Coordinate affordable housing with relocation. Create a target portable jobs voucher that works control to incentivize employers to provide training for workers in transition. Coordinate Federal Housing Administration across metropolitan regions so applications aren't focused to apply for housing in multiple offices in a single metro area job market. Access to capital, ladies and gentlemen, which is, to me, the lifeblood of everything that we're talking about. Accessing and controlling capital scale at a competitive rate has been a fundamental barrier for wealth in the Black community. Policy recommendations: enhance the tax advantage for business development companies that invest opportunity zones by lowering their capital gains rate for shareholders distribution to 5%. Promote alternative lending sources for in-tech startups that are innovating around traditional banks given their capital restrictions. This requires pension funds to disclose investments in opportunity zones. Require pension funds to report the ratio of diversity of their constituents to the diversity of their fund managers. Promote alternative lenders such as bench startups. Increase market managers to appoint an emerging fund officer. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the recommendations. Now, the other pillar is affordable housing. In the past 15 years, Black ownership rates has regressed. From the 60s, lower levels, 40% when private rate-based discrimination was legal. Policy recommendations: require that all public housing agencies offer HUD housing choice ownership and not just rentals. Educate home buyers about alternative mortgage instruments such as shared appreciation loans in opportunity zones and incentivize small dollar mortgages. Expand the market of awareness of rent-to-own companies. Tie federal funding to the reduction of single-family home zoning restrictions and accelerate permits for alternative dwelling units for low-income housing. Deploy new techniques to lower-cost building homes and modular components of manufacturing-inspired supply chains. Ladies and gentlemen, that is concludes the recommendation. You will find also in this PDF the future work in Black America. We can't get around it. It's inevitable disruptions from automation and artificial intelligence create an imperative to redepose and reskill work for the future. Blacks are under the index of the new economy changes for acceleration. Black folks hold 12.1% of the total jobs out of 54.4% of the tech jobs. In other words, These are the same numbers that we've been beating the drum around as the lack of diversity in the solar and renewable energy and the energy industry. We must address these issues, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very detailed piece of work done by the Black Alliance Policy Wage Work Policy, Work Wages Wealth. The Black Economic Alliance is a coalition of business leaders advocating for policies and advanced work wages and wealth in the Black community. This report outlines our policy platform for expanding the Black economy and in turn, the American economy. You can learn more about the BEA about the section of this report at www.blackeconomicalliance.org. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know anybody else bringing you this information, but we know that what this report is speaking to needs definitely to be adopted and addressed, and it supports the call for an economic development plan in the renewable energy and solar industry that the National Association of Blacks in Solar, which yours truly is the acting president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, which was recently chartered. We are 501c3 nonprofit organization that are advocating for increasing market share for these companies to address workforce development training issues, to address hiring more blacks in the solar industry, in the management positions, to address building a coalition with our historically black colleges and universities to reduce their energy costs and coming up with new initiatives for large-scale solar power plant development at our HBCUs to create employment opportunities in this renewable energy industry. Ladies and gentlemen, that we have been able to bring you news, and I know that you can definitely use in our first segment. We're going to take a slight pause for the cause here on Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact, and we'll be right back as we shift gears on another edition of Solar Now and the Future.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. Master plan.
Around the country. Throughout 2020,
Access and Equity teams interviewed partners in the solar industry, environmental justice organizations, and nonprofit organizations to learn what various customers face every day. These interviews highlighted a number of equitable challenges, such as maintaining continuity for low-income customers throughout the application process and the importance of implementing transparency policies. The advisory committee was tasked with identifying challenges with low-income solar programs, implementing to identify best practices and provide solutions to the problems with program implementations. The advisory committee came together for one day in a virtual meeting to work in a workshop with two policy solutions identified throughout the interviews: automated enrollment in low-income programs and providing grant support for community engagement. The members of who served on this advisory committee are listed: Gary Colesmith, Neighborhood Sun, which is a part of Neighborhoods United; Yacina Riviera, Solar United, who's their equity director. You've heard Yacina on this platform numerous times. I've interviewed her. Beth Glanty of Posey Glen; Alexandria Watt of Grid Alternatives. You've heard an interview. Our first interview was done with the outreach coordinator of Grid Alternatives, Lynn Heller, Climate Change Fund; Denise Abdul Rodman, the NAACP; Delaney Rose, Community Consulting; Zane Ashiel, NextCamp. In the virtual meeting, the committee workshop, though questionable, like dogs, like does automatic enrollment increase access, and what are the best strategies to engage lower income communities? The work of the advisory committee will accumulate with the issue of brief and examines how automated enrollment and grant funding can eliminate barriers for low income customers they face. Each year, access to equity advisory committees will rotate and meet to explore, to provide recommendations to address the most pressing barriers to low-income solar programs implementation. That won't do it, ladies and gentlemen, once a year. We beat the drum 54 weeks a year. We beat the drum 54 weeks a year. There are 365 days in a year. We do a show every week for 4 years. We are the only platform online providing this data. Vote Solas, you folks need to holler back at me, because we need a collaboration with the National Association of Blacks in Solar around this issue. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to reach out to us, please do. All you got to do, you know the magic number, 646-668-2948. Now, we're going to close out with Jonathan Scott PowerPoint. Power Trip. We talked about this documentary, and there will be a screening that will be put on by DC Sun on tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., and people can get more information. But we're going to play this back to you, the trailer that you will find on our website.
My name is Jonathan Scott. I make a living fixing up homes and helping families. When I decided to power my home with the sun, I had no idea that a simple solar install would become a search for truth.
Utility regulators raise rates for rooftop solar customers.
Is a sin and a battle over the future of energy in America.
Utilities are losing money because now you have control over what electricity you use it for.
Someone somewhere was spending millions to make billions.
They want stay addicted to their monopoly model, and they have a guaranteed profit.
And the profits far outweigh the human cost.
Coal companies associations have been very effective.
How many friends have you lost?
Hundreds. I've been for 38 years in the coal mine. He was just 3 years old when he died. That was my mom.
And you have?
And I have it too.
Miles of a toxic emitting power plant. The coal ash, we didn't think anything of it until suddenly we realized that there were diseases breaking out through the community. The doctor said, oh, you live near Cancer Lake.
On my journey, I met the corporations in control. Are there situations where, as a human being, you have a conflict as a utility company?
I think that's just the way it has been.
That's the worst explanation.
They're doing everything they can to stifle what the people want. It's the most frustrating thing, and the people fighting back.
I'm not the only one in the South that's a conservative that loves solar.
You put these silly national partisan politics aside, and you can do things that really help everybody.
This is about people. This is about their lives.
In our culture, the sun is a powerful symbol.
After they put the solar panels in, I can buy more bread, I can buy more milk, beans, grain.
Our health has been compromised. Our rights have been taken away. But it's not too late to fight back. When it comes to energy freedom, this country has a long, long way to go. What's preventing everybody from having this?
Ladies and gentlemen, that you just heard the audio from the trailer of Power Trip done by Jonathan Scott. It was an excellent piece done, but it did not deal with the disparities of employment in the industry, the solar industry, and the lack of diversity in this industry, and it's not an accident. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, which serves as a blueprint for economic and self-reliance for renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation, workforce development, design, and training companies to address the effects of high energy costs that are historically black colleges and universities, to utilize black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar projects to bring down the unemployment and underemployment of your black men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through black talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. You also know, ladies and gentlemen, that this show is brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. You can get more about that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. Please click on our news and events tab. Not news and events tab, but stroll over to our GoFundMe link, click on it, and you will find a way so you can support this platform. Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not the greedy. We are definitely the needy when it comes to for financial support for this platform. And only you can make that happen. So Positive Change, www.positivechangep, as in Paul, C as in cat.com, and you can make a donation to this platform. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for joining us for a 60-minute filled hour of powerful information. And as we say it, when we set out to do our show each week, we hope that we definitely brought you news that you could definitely use here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And one thing we try to do, ladies and gentlemen, we don't talk about it, we be about it. So that's Ebonics was saying we try to get the job done. So until next week, we don't want you to meet us here. We want you to be this here for another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact. on Black America. And until next week, we say go in peace.
Someone singing, I can just sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.